Herald of Truth, program number 260.
As the years speed by, many of us are filled with foreboding. Ill health, financial difficulties, loneliness, all of these become unbearably heavy burdens. We want to face the future with steady eyes and a heart full of hope, but this ideal is often difficult to achieve. In a moment, I want to tell you how Christ makes this possible.
I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand.
Welcome once again to Herald of Truth with Batzel Barrett Baxter. Mr. Baxter is chairman of the Department of Bible at David Lipscomb College in Nashville, Tennessee. Mr. Baxter has been speaking during the month of August on the general theme, Modern Medicine, Present and Future. His message for this hour is entitled, Facing the Future.
Behind of my soul in the cleft of the rock, shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand.
And now, here is Batzel Barrett Baxter speaking on the subject, Facing the Future. Mr. Baxter.
Do you remember the popular play a few years ago called Knickerbocker Holiday? I'm sure you remember one of the hit tunes called September Song. Walter Houston, who at the time was in the September years of his life, sang, and I guess maybe I could more accurately say recited the words, "For it's a long, long while from May to December, but the days grow short when you reach September." This is a poetic way of referring to the process of aging, a subject not entirely pleasant, yet not beyond the interest of any of us. Nearly 10% of the population of the United States, about 20 million people, are over 65 years of age, and by the end of the century, they tell us that the number will likely reach the area of about 28 million. It's not surprising, therefore, that radio and television programs, magazine articles and books, in ever-increasing numbers, deal with the problems of aging. It's also not surprising that advertising agencies are slanting their appeals to the needs of retirement-age people more and more. The stereotype portrayed of a complaining, dissatisfied, displaced person is unfair to the majority of the 20 million Americans who are over 65. Only 4% are confined to nursing homes, and a bare 1% are in mental hospitals. A recent national poll indicates that a vast majority of the nation's older people are satisfied with their lives since retirement. It's often been suggested that the test of a people or nation or culture is the way those people behave toward the aged. It's easy to love little children or to admire industrious youth. It's almost equally easy to ignore older people. This has led many to fear growing old. This often results in our devoting a great deal of time and money and energy to the art of concealing the evidences of age. We in America can be thankful, I'm convinced, that there's the very widespread generous concern for the elderly. Without wanting to become politically involved, even in the slightest degree, I freely admit that I'm thankful to live in a land which has a generous program of Social Security benefits such as we have here in America. And I'm also grateful for programs such as Medicare and Medicaid for those who need such care in the later years of their lives. Respect for the aged is a mark of maturity in a society. More than that, it's honorable and it's right. What can be said of a time when physical weakness, forgetfulness, enforced idleness, loss of acuteness of hearing and sharpness of sight, and above all, a time in which one is likely to feel that there's no purpose or direction in his life? Perhaps no passage in all of literature so graphically depicts the burden of old age as does Solomon's vivid description in the final chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes. He speaks of weakness and wakefulness, failing sight, the stooped back, the fears, the croaking voice, and then, inevitably, death. Shakespeare's Seven Ages of Man closes with the final age, sans teeth, sans eyes, sans taste, sans everything. The Bible, in contrast with this rather dreary picture of old age, points to its glories. The Old Testament book of Proverbs notes that a hoary head is a crown of glory. It is gained in a righteous life. A little later, the same collection of divinely given wisdom says, "The glory of young men is their strength, but the beauty of old men is their gray hair." One of Job's friends commented in the midst of Job's suffering, "You shall come to your grave in a ripe old age, as a shock of grain comes to the threshing floor in its season." One gets the impression from the Bible that age is not something to avoid, even if it were possible for us to avoid it, but rather it's a mellowing period toward which life gradually develops. The Bible recognizes the maturity and wisdom which can only come with age by reserving certain tasks for older people to perform. Leadership in the church during the New Testament period was provided by men who were chosen from within the congregation, whose lives had certain qualities. Now, these men are called bishops or overseers in some scripture passages because their work as guardians and superintendents of the church suggested that. In other scripture references, they are designated as pastors or shepherds, with an analogy between their work in guiding Christians and the shepherd's work in caring for his sheep. The Bible writers also call these men presbyters or elders, indicating their age and maturity. This work of leadership in the church is an example of Christian usefulness in older age and is personally very fulfilling to the ones who've prepared themselves for it. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to Titus, a young minister, indicated certain works for which older men and women are especially fitted. He wrote, "But as for you, teach what befits sound doctrine. Bid the older men to be temperate, serious, sensible, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Bid the older women likewise to be reverent in behavior, not to be slanderers or slaves to drink. They're to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be sensible, chaste, domestic, kind, and submissive to their husbands, that the work of God may not be discredited." Older men and women are to be teachers and examples to younger persons. If this teaching were taken seriously by more people, wouldn't it have a tremendous effect upon home life in our time? I should like to offer some suggestions to the elderly, drawn from the wisdom of ages past and also the present. But now let's listen again to our chorus as they sing, "O Love That Will Not Let Me Go."
O Love That Will Not Let Me Go, I rest my weary soul in thee. I give back the life I hold, that in thine ocean depths its flow may richer fuller be.
O light that follows down thy way, I yield.
A few moments ago I asked, what can be said for the older years of life when our physical and mental faculties begin to fade? Well, actually, a great deal can be said. Contrary to almost universal thinking on the subject, age is not a time to be dreaded, but is rather a time of fulfillment. However, old age is a time of quiet happiness, the golden years of life, and it may be achieved only by an extension of the better moments of the younger years. Happiness and fulfillment in old age don't come by accident. As with all great blessings, there must be dedication and a shouldering of responsibility and a forward look. As the body ages, there must be a rekindling of the mind from day to day. Now, this takes some doing, but it can be done. Back in the 19th century, Robert Browning expressed the belief that old age is the best part of life as he began his poem, Rabbi Ben Ezra. Grow old along with me. The best is yet to be. The last of life, for which the first was made. Our times are in his hand, who saith, a whole I planned. Youth shows but half. Trust God, see all, nor be afraid. Why is the beauty of old age not appreciated? What are the special problems and needs of older people which we're so afraid will not be met? Are there ways to prevent the isolation, loneliness, and depression that so often seem to come automatically with older age? Perhaps a beginning can be made by thinking about the special needs of older people. One of these is the longing to be useful. The happiest older people appear to be those who've found a renewed usefulness after their retirement from lifelong careers. George Bernard Shaw, one of the greatest of literary figures, was active and delighting the world with his quips until his death at the age of 94. Michelangelo continued his creative work until his 89th year. A second need which older persons sense is a longing for personal fulfillment. Now, recreation and entertainment for senior citizens may be quite helpful, but if older age becomes a period of stagnation, during which the person doesn't really grow and develop spiritually, life becomes boring and empty. Carl Wilson Baker has expressed this desire for fulfillment in older age in a beautiful poem, one of my favorites. Let me grow lovely, growing old. So many fine things do. Laces and ivory and gold and silks need not be new. And there is healing in old trees. Old streets a glamour hold. Why may not I, as well as these, grow lovely, growing old? The aging person not only needs to feel that he or she is useful, that life is still full of meaning, but security is also a basic need during this period of life. Loneliness or illness or even the fear of passing time may result in a serious loss of self-confidence for the aging person. But what do I plan to do about old age? It may be easy enough to analyze special problems and needs of aging people, but how does one cope with these challenges? Preparation for older age is a lifelong process. We prepare ourselves for retirement during the days of our youth, whether we realize this preparation is going on or not. People save their financial means for an income during old age. Well, how can we prepare a spiritual income for old age? A first suggestion would be that life is basically a sowing and reaping process. To have reared one's family well, to have done enough good for others that one can never exhaust their gratitude, to have worked hard enough in life that one can look back upon duties well done, these are among the surest guarantees of a happy old age. A second hint is that one prepares for older age by developing a proper attitude toward service. Many public service projects need older persons. The important thing is that people of every age group engage in truly human activities. Work is only one such activity, and there are many other ways to serve one's fellow men. Third, I'd hope to be able to keep myself respect during the older years. This would involve proper personal care, tidiness about dress, planning of one's diet, and not apologizing for one's age. It's important also to learn to listen to other people rather than urging upon them advice which they may not want. If one can learn to endure his aches and pains with only minimum complaint and can reserve his advice until it is sought, he'll find that people consider him an asset rather than a liability. It's heartening also to see an older person who's learned to accept certain physical or mental limitations gracefully. I believe I'll also want to maintain whatever independence I can during my older years. Now, this doesn't mean that one should be sensitive about accepting help from others, but rather that pampering and coddling may not produce the strong spirit of which you're capable. A sense of humor that will allow one to enjoy laughing with others is another great asset during that period of life when we tend to take ourselves so seriously and to turn our eyes inward with too much sadness. I've reserved spiritual development for the climax of these suggestions for growing older gracefully. Read at least a few verses in the Bible daily and reflect upon them quietly. Keep your prayers uncomplicated, but try to express your thoughts to God frequently. The development of spiritual resources is important during every period of one's life and provides deep wells of strength for the older years. Can the aging person say, "The best is yet to be"? Oh, we'll see in a moment, following this message and song from our chorus. These words of the Apostle Paul have been inspiring to aging men down through the centuries. Not that I have already obtained or am already made perfect, but I press on, if so be that I may lay hold on that for which also I was laid hold on by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself yet to have laid hold, but one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and stretching forward to the things which are before, I press on toward the goal unto the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And then a few lines later on, for our citizenship is in heaven. Paul had merged his life and hopes into the life and promises of Jesus Christ. He even speaks of himself as having been crucified with Christ. He died with him years before when he laid aside his persecution of Christ and repented of the wrongs he had done. He'd been buried with Christ in the grave called baptism and had been raised with a forward look toward the future. Consequently, even death for Paul was not a dead-end street. As he faced execution under Nero, he could still say, in a very real sense, that the best is yet to be. So that we may have this same assurance, each of us needs to make certain that, like Paul, he's a child of God, a Christian. Each of us must believe in Christ as God's Son, must turn from the world to follow Christ, must confess Christ before our fellow men, and must be buried with Christ in baptism. Like Paul, then, we can face the future unafraid. With Christ as our guide, life can be beautiful all the way to the end, and then even more beautiful over on the other side, where we'll spend eternity with God and the righteous of all the ages. May the Lord bless you and keep you.
The Lord bless you and keep you.
You've been listening to Batzel Barrett Baxter, and this has been Herald of Truth. Throughout the month of August, Mr. Baxter has been speaking on the general theme, Modern Medicine, Present and Future. Today's message is entitled, Facing the Future. If you'd like to have a printed copy of this message, write to Mr. Baxter, Abilene, Texas. That's Mr. Baxter, Abilene, Texas. Ask for program number 260. Program 260. And now a final word about our month-long offer. In response to many inquiries about Churches of Christ, who with interested individuals make this program possible, we're sending an informative booklet to all persons who write us during the month of August. The booklet, entitled What is the Church of Christ, written by Batzel Barrett Baxter, will be sent to all persons writing us during the period ending August 31st. Now, it may be that you'll wish to submit a Bible-related question. Perhaps you'll want to join the many who've requested assistance regarding personal problems. Or it may be that you feel now's the time to enroll in a Bible correspondence course, or that you simply wish to request a specific program, such as program number 260, which you heard today. Well, to all persons writing us this month for whatever reason, a copy of Mr. Baxter's enlightening booklet will be sent to you at once. As always, there's no cost or obligation attached to any of these offers. You're invited and urged to see Herald of Truth on television. Be sure to check your local TV listings for time and channel. Herald of Truth has been presented by Churches of Christ and interested individuals around the world and is produced by the Highland Church of Christ in Abilene, Texas. Next week at this time, the Lord willing, Batzel Barrett Baxter will present the first of a new series of discussions dealing with the person of Jesus Christ. His subject will be, He Says He Is the Truth. Please plan to be with us. This is Brett Allison.